You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, yesterday we looked back on the career of Prince, who passed away yesterday. In just a little bit, we're going to ask you to call in with your memories and your favorite songs by Prince. You can get us started now over at the Central Time Facebook page. First, 46 years ago, Wisconsin Senator Gaylord Nelson established Earth Day as a way to bring awareness to pressing environmental concerns facing the United States and the world. In the nearly half a century that's passed since the day's founding, the world has seen a tremendous shift in environmental awareness, from the growing popularity of green technology to more serious conversations about climate change and what our environment might look like in the future. Joining us now to talk about Earth Day is Tia Nelson. She's a longtime environmental activist, and she is the daughter of Senator Nelson. Tia, thanks for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm glad to be here. Happy Earth Day.
Well, let's start by talking about your father, Gaylord Nelson. He served Wisconsin as governor and a U.S. senator. What led him to this commitment to public service?
Well, it's a great story, interesting story. I love hearing him tell it. When he was 10 years old, he got in a Model T Ford with his father, who was a doctor in Clear Lake, Wisconsin, up in northwestern Wisconsin, in Polk County. They drove to Amory, which was the county seat, where they watched Bob LaFollette Jr. give a speech from the back of a whistle-stop train. My father was 10 years old, sitting on his father's shoulders. He was inspired to public service by that very event.
And Earth Day, of course, is almost synonymous with Gaylord Nelson. How did his being from Wisconsin inform his interest, his care for the environment and conservation?
I think it was imbued in him as a child, growing up in a small town with nature as his playground, canoe in the St. Croix River, fish in the Nemecagon River with his father, visiting the Apostle Islands. These were all places he recreated in as a child, and they are places that he then dedicated himself to protecting once he was governor and United States senator.
And, of course, you've spent much of your career dealing with environmental issues. What led you to pursue that?
Well, I studied wildlife ecology here at the University of Wisconsin, and I, too, enjoyed the outdoors and wildlife. I honestly wasn't much of a scientist, and after being a fisheries technician up in the Apostle Islands with the DNR for some number of summers, I went out to California. I was a fisheries technician there for a year and didn't feel like the right fit for my skills, so I became involved more in public policy, and that led me to my work both in the state capitol and then later the Nature Conservancy.
Looking at some of your work here in the state, you resigned as executive secretary of Wisconsin's Board of Commissioners of Public Lands, and you were quoted at that time saying, I am concerned about the efforts of some to defund science. To me, this is irresponsible to the extreme. So can you tell us, what are your specific worries about where the state's going on now with land management and conservation?
Well, we all as citizens have the right to clean air and clean water, and it's government's obligation to protect those rights for us. These are, after all, common assets for all of us to share, and they're essential to public health. So to make sound public policy requires good science, and the legislature has made dramatic cuts to both science and education at the Department of Natural Resources. They've also diminished the citizens' right to petition their government for redress if they have concerns about those environmental protections. The combination of those factors to me is very disconcerting. You can't make good policy, public policy, to protect public health, to protect our air, and to protect our water if you don't have good science. And if you eviscerate the science division of the very agency that's in charge with protecting our well-being, it's pretty hard to know and be confident that the environment is going to be protected.
What's at risk here for us, for citizens of Wisconsin, if that, in your view, doesn't turn around?
Well, look at what's happening in the Central Sands region with two issues. High-capacity wells, which are depleting people's water supply, and the unregulated spreading of animal waste, which is polluting people's wells. This is affecting people's lives. It's affecting the value of their property. It's affecting their public health. And it's, I think, should be of concern to everyone. We take for granted here in Wisconsin an abundant and beautiful natural resource base and an abundant water supply and so many lakes and rivers. And we can't take that for granted. I think that would be an important message to think about on Earth Day.
Do you think that we used to have more bipartisan cooperation on conservation issues? Have you seen that erode over the years?
Yes, most certainly it has in many ways. I'm pleased that the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Fund, keep in mind that program was launched by my father as Governor Warren Knowles, the Republican governor who succeeded him, grew and expanded and strengthened that program, which is why years later it was named after the two of them. It's a signal of strong and long bipartisan tradition to conserve places that make Wisconsin special. That program continues today. And I'm happy to tell you that I was traveling recently with former Governor Tommy Thompson, a distinguished Republican governor who served for many years, as I'm sure your listeners know. And Tommy was bragging to me that he had protected more land, more public land in Wisconsin than any other governor, and that pleased him. It was something he was proud of, and it delighted me to hear him speak that way about it. So I think there still is some bipartisan commitment, but I do believe it's been eroded. I think that is disconcerting. I think it's unnecessary, and I think it puts the public at risk.
Talking to Tia Nelson on Earth Day, and Tia from Wisconsin to the world now. A big signing. 170 countries have representatives signing the climate agreements negotiated in Paris toward the end of last year. Overall, what are your thoughts on this Paris Agreement as an effort to turn the tide on climate change?
Well, the Paris Accord is the strongest commitment on the part of nations to address what is really the greatest intergenerational environmental challenge of humankind of all time. And so it's a significant step in the right direction. We'll need to do more. I was fortunate enough to be in Paris for the negotiations of the accord. There were some things that were different from when I had been involved in those discussions just a decade earlier. I think these are worth celebrating, these differences. There were 70 corporations, big international corporations and American companies, Microsoft, Apple, Bank of America, Google, Honda Automobiles. They all agreed to support the agreement. They all agreed to reduce their own emissions. And they all agreed to invest in clean and green energy technologies. When I was last at a climate negotiation, industry was only there to obstruct the talks. This time, there were industry was there to support an international agreement. What's happening today in New York is a historic moment and a great step in the right direction to begin to address a really big challenge.
What do you think changed that now those corporations you mentioned, industry, in some cases is at the table going along with this sort of thing instead of working against it?
Well, I think a lot has changed. Industry recognizes that climate change poses a risk for their bottom line. Think about it as if you were here in Wisconsin. If you're a farmer or a forester or an insurance executive or a municipal official planning a public infrastructure project, having to anticipate how you manage your stormwater, regardless of which profession you had, you care about climate change because it affects your bottom line. These big corporations have done risk assessment. They understand that climate change is a risk to them, and they're taking actions to mitigate that risk. And that's a big sea change.
There have been issues here in the United States. Part of the U.S. commitment involved cutting back greenhouse gas emissions. Part of the effort was going to involve changing how our coal power plants are regulated in the country. Legal challenges to that. It looks like this is not something that, if it ever happens, is going to happen overnight. Do you think the U.S. will be able to meet the commitments it's signing on to?
I do, for the following reason. Let's keep in mind the Supreme Court has already ruled that the Environmental Protection Agency has the authority and obligation to regulate CO2 emissions under the Clean Air Act. So there's no question in the highest court in the nation that greenhouse gases are a regulated pollutant under the Clean Air Act and that EPA has the authority to regulate those emissions to protect public health. And that's their job. So that is not in dispute. What's in dispute at the moment is whether EPA has the authority to proceed with a set of rules that they have put forward, and we'll find out. But in the meantime, municipal officials, mayors from all over the United States are taking actions to make their cities more livable, reduce greenhouse gas emissions, enhance public infrastructure. A lot of good things are happening. It'll take time to resolve these legal issues, but I have no doubt that in the end, we will have in place regulations and incentives to be more energy independent and producing cleaner energy. It's essential that we decarbonize the economy through those investments. And you can see a lot of companies putting their money in that on that bet.
Still a significant number of people at large in business and in government saying either that climate change isn't happening, or that if it is, it's not because of human factors, or that if it is, the damage it's going to do isn't worth the economic damage it would take to change things to stop it. What do you say to that climate about climate change?
Yes. Well, I think it's legitimate to have a debate about how we respond to the threats of climate change. It's absurd to have a debate about the science. It's just not in dispute. Disputing the fact that you burn fossil fuels, it emits carbon dioxide, that carbon dioxide accumulates in the atmosphere and warms the planet is a phenomenon that Thomas Edison talked about in 1907, right? It's a knowable, measurable, observable thing. The science is not in dispute. It'd be about like saying that denying that I'm inhaling oxygen and exhaling carbon dioxide. So the question is, what are we going to do about it? That's where the debate should lie. And I think it's important that we have that discussion, because the answers aren't always easy and simple. And there are different ways to achieve the goal of greater energy independence and a clean energy economy. And that's what we should be talking about.
We'll leave it there for now. Tia, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure to be with you. Happy Earth Day.
Tia Nelson is a longtime environmental advocate. She joined us to talk about Earth Day today, which her father, Wisconsin Senator Gaylord Nelson, founded 46 years ago.